Before I get started, I feel like there's a couple of things. I know some of y'all may know me, some of you may not. I feel like there's some things that I ought to tell you before I get up here and preach in your pulpit. As a 10-year-old boy of the Lord, he let me know that I was lost. I was separated from him. I was at Hogan's Creek Missionary Baptist Church. Lost his last year's Easter egg. I was sitting there and I told God I wasn't going to that altar. I wasn't doing nothing you wanted me to do. I'm a big boy. I'm 10. I got double digits. I'm good. I want you to know something. If you're here and you're lost, you're not good. You're separated from God. But with that being said, that night, I had to make an altar somewhere. Thank God that he brought me to a place where I had to. I didn't have a choice. You see, if I kept going, you know what that would have just... It would have just kept building and building and building. But thank God he dropped me down and pulled me down so low that I went to that altar. It wasn't anything that I did. I want you to understand that. It wasn't a thing that I did, but he brought me to that altar. He called me out, let me know I was lost. I don't know what I said, but at some point, God saved my soul. Gave me that peace. I've got that peace in me. I like to tell people that. And after that, in June of 2022, God called me to preach. Not a man, not a woman. There was nobody, but God let me know. And I believe that y'all need to know that before I try to stand here and preach. Yeah. With that being said, I can't stand here and preach by myself. I'm not good at it, and if there's any preaching done tonight, it'll be because God comes down and helps me out. Yeah. I need y'all's prayers.
Amen.
Matthew in the 6th chapter. This has been on me. I've had a burden for a while now, and it's like I preach on it every other day, it seems like. If you don't have a burden, pray for one. I'm thankful that he gives me one. He gives me something to preach on, and I thank him for that. Thank him for that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye will be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will have to hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Close my lesson reading there with the completion of the 24th verse of my mistakes. My thought tonight comes from that last verse where it says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? Riches, life, what we want. What will we serve? I want us to go over, this has been on me, I want us to go over into, we're going to talk a little bit about Baal tonight. I want us to go into 1 Kings in the 18th chapter, and here I find a man by the name of Elijah.
Amen.
Powerful man. Why? Because God allowed him to do these things. He knew why and where he had his power, but I want us to look real deep. What did he serve? What were these other people serving? Was he serving God or the world or mammon or Baal, whatever you want to call it? I believe that we live in a world today where this Old Testament, it's not preached near as much as it used to be. There's churches that won't even touch it. Why?
Yeah.
I believe that it displays the power of God.
Amen.
I believe that every scripture in the Old Testament, what's it doing? It's pointing forward to Christ.
Amen.
Pointing forward to today. It's prophecy. I want you to understand today that in this Old Testament here, where we're going to try to, I want to try to really get in here and dwell into this. And I want us to, there's a question asked. We can ask it today. Before we get started, I want to read you that question in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter in the 21st verse. And here, I want to just read to you this question that Elijah asked these prophets of Baal.
Amen.
How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to stand there and you're going to go this way? Are you going to go to God? Or are you going to go this way? We're all, this life that we live in, it's full of decisions that we have to make. We don't have a choice. You're going to make a decision. And if you don't, I want you to know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me back up. Let me keep reading here. He asks that question there and he says, if the Lord be God, follow him. Follow him. If he's God, follow him. Listen, he said, but if Baal, then follow him. I want you to know today you can ask yourself that same question. Are you here? Are you lost? God, follow him. Your pride, follow it. What does pride lead to? Destruction. What does God lead to? A heavenly home, peace. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I want you to understand here that these prophets of Baal, they seemed like they were high and mighty and powerful. For the sake of time, I want to try to read a little bit, but I want to kind of just give you kind of what all is going on here. They were at Mount Carmel, and I find here that Elijah issued a challenge to them. Why did he issue a challenge? He had faith. He knew that his God was God. He followed it. But I find here where there was 450 prophets of Baal. Prophets of Baal, what is Baal? We can look at Baal, and they were it was a Phoenician pagan god. I believe that the people that worshiped them, they would sacrifice babies. They would do just nasty, filthy things. We'll read about a grove over in Judges in the 6th chapter. We'll go over there to Gideon in a little bit too. But I find that these people were worshiping idols. Idols. In the beginning, I find that God created the heaven and the earth, but you know what? He didn't create another god. He didn't create another thing to worship. He didn't create anything that gave reason to not worship Him. He created everything perfectly in His way so that we could see it and worship Him. In all things that were created, they were created so that we would worship Him. But these people, they've gotten so far away from God, but I find here that they were so confident that whenever Elijah came and issued this challenge, I find where it says here in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter, let's see here. Let's see. Help me, Lord. I find that this challenge was issued, and Elijah, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but Elijah here, he told him, he said, well, what I want you to do is we're going to build an altar. I want you to put a sacrifice on it, and I want you to call out to your God. I'll let you go first. I'll let you have the first turn. You call out to Him and let Him come. If Baal be thy God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. And if God be God, follow him. So what do? They lay out this sacrifice. They call out to Baal, 450 of them. A whole lot of them want Elijah. That's the way the world is now, ain't it? There's not a whole lot of us. Not a whole lot of those that want to follow God. But I want you to understand, it's not us that has the power. None of us have the power. We do not have it. These 450 men, they called out. What Elijah do? I find we ought not be prideful in ourselves, but I want you to understand we can be prideful in our God and how powerful He is. What did he do? He said, where's your God? Is he on vacation? I'm just paraphrasing. Is he on vacation? Can he not hear you? Is he busy talking to somebody else? Where's he at? He's not here. They called out and called out and called out, and eventually it came down to it that Baal could do nothing. This world today, lay up your treasures in heaven. Why? Lay up what we have here, there. Don't lay up all the things around here, because you know what? Moth and rust will corrupt. This world is pointless whenever it comes to the grand scheme of things. What we have in life, I find that we worship man. We worry more about what man wants than what God wants. I want you to know God hates whenever we cause discord among one another, whenever we come in and we start making a mess of everything. I want you to understand. I find in Revelation, I believe it's the 2nd or 3rd chapter there, and he's writing to a church, and it says that they had left their first love. Yeah. What's that first love? I believe it's Jesus Christ. I've heard it preached that it was seeing lost souls saved. I don't know about that. Whenever Jesus, he was going away, he left us with some commandments, and it was love him first, wasn't it? It was love him. That's our first love, I believe. Amen. To love Christ. Remember what he's done for us. Spread it to other people. Remember whenever he commissioned the church there before he went up there in the last chapter of Matthew, it says that he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them all. What do you teach them? You teach them everything that I've told you to teach them. Everything. Everything in this book I find is profitable, and it's good for doctrine. I believe that we ought to preach the book front to cover to cover, front to back. I believe it's imperative that we do that. You know why? God wrote it. He didn't do it for spite. Whenever he speaks, you know why he speaks? Because it's perfect. But I find here that they had cried aloud. Let's read here in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter in the 27th verse. It says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. There was no answer from Baal, was there? There will not be an answer from Baal. I'm convinced there will not be an answer from anything other than God. I know there won't. Why? Because God is God. He's a jealous God. You know that? He's jealous. Why is he jealous? Because he created everything perfect. He created us to worship him. He put us here. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, whenever he put them there, he knew they would sin. He knew it. He knew they would, yet he still allowed it to happen. Why? Why does he give us free will? Because he wants us to choose to go to him.
Amen.
He gives us all an opportunity. He wants you to come to him. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to know God's jealous. Every time that you have felt that draw, every time that he's let you know that you're lost, what he's doing is he wants you to come. We'll get into that in just a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself again. I find here, if we keep on reading, now I want you to understand the power of God. A lot of things in this life, you can look around and think that that it's just not possible. Philippians 4 and 13, it's a very, very quoted verse. It tells me that by the power of God, all things are possible. I think that it gets misquoted quite a bit too. I believe that people don't understand that whenever it says that, I believe that it's if God wants us to do it, and if it's good for him, he'll help us. Now, if it comes to something like serving the world by chance or playing a sports game, I want you to know it's not near as important. I want you to know going to that softball game, that basketball game, that's serving man, ain't it? Whenever that comes in between you and God, that's an idol. Oh, that's no better than Baal here. I want you to know that this world, it may not be sacrificing babies like it was, but in a sense, it kind of is. I want you to know that whenever we worship things that are not God, that is helping the devil and what he's trying to do here. It's not, we're just letting it happen. Church, we're letting it happen. We're letting it come right in here into us. Every time that you let one little thing come in, it's like a big snowball and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You don't go to church this Sunday, that hurt a little bit. You don't testify this time, oh, that hurt a little bit. But the next time, whenever he comes knocking, do this for me. It's not as hard. It's easy. Whenever you say, well, I've already laid down on him a couple of times, it'll be all right. I can go to watch a football game. I don't have to go to church. I can go spend a little time with this other person that don't know nothing about God. I can go out here. I can drink. I can party. I can be merry. I can do all this, all that. Whenever you put that before God, you're serving another God. It's a little g God. It's not a big G, but it's a little g. You're putting it before God. I want you to understand the power of our God. In this Old Testament, it's the same God that we serve today.
Man.
Understand the power of God. Listen, I find here in the 30th verse, it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Listen to that. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar, and great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Not only did he build this altar, now he's going to put water on this wood. You ever tried to burn wet wood? It don't burn real good, does it? No, it don't. Listen, he poured four barrels on it. What'd he say? He said, do it again. That's eight barrels. What'd he say then? He said, do it again. That's 12 barrels. Every bit of water in this trench that he had dug, oh, that wood was wet. That sacrifice was wet. Listen, 36th verse. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Listen. Then the fire of the Lord fell, cried out, God, show yourself. Show yourself, God. Show these people who you are. I pray today that the church gets on fire for him, and we'll call out to him, Lord, send down something. Help us to feel your spirit. That way these lost and dying, the people outside, they can see who you are. Listen, whenever he did this in the name of the Lord, he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it so these people could see. Listen, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, and the stones and the dust was licked up. The water that was in the trench, all that water was pointless. It was gone. And when all the people saw it, what'd they do? They saw the power of God.
They saw it with their own eyes. I want you to understand that we may not see a fire fall from the sky today, but you best believe whenever the power of God and the Spirit moves amongst people, can start here, go there. You believe that the lost can see that and feel that? I'm a firm believer they can, because whenever I was lost, I could feel it. But listen, that fire came down. What these people do? It says they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." It's the same God we serve today.
Amen.
Thank Him for that. Let's go over into Judges in the 6th chapter. I want us to keep looking at this. Let me find it here. I find that this is just... there's not a whole lot that I have on me tonight. Maybe I do have a lot. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I want you to understand that the power of God is there, and that this world is not even a half of what it is. Those people there, there was 450 of them. I'm sure they felt powerful. They knew they were outnumbered him. Surely they were going to prevail there. They did. I want us to go, and I want us to talk about Gideon for just a minute. I find that the children of Israel had sinned and fallen away from God as they did so many times. Amen. They fell away, they fell away, they fell away. The world today is the same. You know, we get close to God, it feels like, sometimes, and then we'll just fall right away. I want you to understand that God let His own children, these were the children of God, He let them fall into captivity time and time and time and time again. Yet we sit on a high horse, don't we, here in the United States. I'm so thankful I live here. We have the opportunity to gather at 6 p.m. on a Sunday night. There's a lot of revivals going on. Do you know that? Thank God. Amen. I thank Him that we can come in here and do this, but I want you to understand it doesn't... God, He allows it to be that way. At any time, He could let us fall into the hands of the enemy. I want you to understand here that these people, they had just came out of captivity, and then they sinned again. And what happened? Repeated itself. They fell into the hand of the Midianites, I find here in the 6th chapter of Judges. They fell, and I want you to see here that these people, they were doing the same thing as the prophets of Baal. They were worshiping Baal in the groves. But I want us to look and just truly again see. I want you to understand tonight how powerful the world is and how powerful God is. I find here that Gideon, he was called out by God, and he said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to use you, and you're going to help me free my people." And I find here that Gideon was told by God, they had built an altar to Baal, and beside it was a grove. And this grove here, I believe that you can translate it to Asherah. Asherah was a goddess, one of those Phoenician goddesses as well. It was the god of all these nasty things, filthy. They were having orgies, doing all these nasty things. That's what it was. I can stand before you and say that's exactly what it was. I find that these people were living in filth, kind of like today. If you look around, just look around. It doesn't take long. You'll find that we're living in a world. I can get on homosexuality. I can get on just look around, and you'll see the filth that we live in. I don't want to dwell on that for too long, but I find here that God called Gideon, and He said, "What I want you to do is I want you to go, and I want you to destroy this altar that they've built to Baal. I want you to destroy the grove that's there beside it." What did he do? "I'll go do it, God, but I don't know if I can do it." What did he do? He went and did it. And what I find is that the people, they called out for his father. After Gideon had gone, destroyed this altar, destroyed the grove, they called out to Gideon's father, Joash, there, and they said, "Joash, we know your son's done this. Bring him to us. Help me find this, Lord." I find in Judges in the 6th chapter in the 30th verse, it says, "Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die." Listen to this. Listen to the power of God. "That he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Because one hath cast down his altar." One has cast down his altar. I want you to understand. Baal... there's nothing there. The world is the same. There's nothing there to worship. Whenever you look at it, this world, you can tear it down, you can destroy it, but if you've got God in your heart, if you've got God living inside of you, you've got something bigger than all that. Gideon here, he destroyed that altar. He wasn't afraid. Why? He knew Baal was not capable of hurting him. This world, I want you to know, God has let us know that if we are His, He'll protect us. He'll lead us to Him. He'll show us that, hey, He's all power. But I find here that through this, they were saying, "Well, we're going to kill him for Baal. But what did Joash say? Well, if Baal's a god, let Baal kill it. There's no god there. This world, there's no god in this world bigger than ours. I find that our concern nowadays is God's people has lost. We're looking to the wrong things. We're looking around and worrying more about what so-and-so's doing. Or I've seen it in revivals and time again. Or the parents of the church, I've seen it with my own eyes. It hurts to watch, but there's no concern for their children. They'll take them and they'll take them to ball games and they'll be sitting in church. I want you to understand, if you're here and you're lost, or if you're sitting beside somebody that's lost, I beg you, leave them alone. Leave them alone. If God's dealing with them, you can't help them. You can tell them what to do. You can tell them what God did for you, but don't be sitting there telling them what you're going to do after service. I've seen it. It's hard to watch. If you're here and you're lost, get serious. Get down to business on it. You want to know what God is? He's a businessman. He wants you to come His way. He does not want you to come your way, and you're not going to be able to sit there. You can sit there and you can look around all you want. You can sit there until you die. I want you to understand, if you die in that condition, you've got to get serious about it. I find over in Exodus in the 12th chapter, I find where there was a concern amongst the people. There was 10 plagues sent. The Israelites had fallen into the hands of the Egyptians, and God sent Moses to call them out. We all know the story. But I find there in that last plague, God had told them, what I'm going to do is there's going to be essentially a death of the firstborn, but He gave them a way out. God gave these children of Israel and those that believed in Him a way out. Where's their concern? Were they concerned with the world, with the Egyptians, with what was going on around them? No, they had to get serious. They had to know what they were doing. Where is our concern as God's people? Where is your concern as a lost individual? Are you bound for hell? Are you going to heaven? Do you have family that's bound for hell? As far as you can tell, they haven't told you any different. I can't see it, but we need to get serious about it. Listen, I find where God had told them that he was gonna come through and there would be a death of the firstborn. Yeah. I want you to understand this Old Testament again, pointing forward. There had to be blood shed for the remission of sins, right? God told them plainly, what you're going to do is you're going to kill a lamb. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be without spot. It's got to be without blemish. What happened? I find where they had to take it and they had to rub it. If this right here is a door, they had to go across the top of the lint around the doorpost. I find that those that did it, listen, in the 12th chapter of Exodus, in the 13th verse, it says, and the blood shall be for you a token. Amen. A token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, listen, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt, and this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord through your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. You see, whenever God said so, I want you to know everybody that did it His way, did what He said. You know what He did? He passed over. It was a token. That blood, it was a token to them. Did you know today that there's blood that was shed? It was shed freely so that you could have a token, so that you could have something that in the end day, whenever God comes back, you know what to do? He'll look over you. We're all going to stand before Him. We're all going to be judged. But the difference in those that are saved and those that are lost, I want you to know, is whether or not that blood has been applied to their soul. Whether or not you have went to Him. Whether you've done it His way. Whether you've done it your way. Have you went seriously unto God? Have you worshiped the world? I want us to go back over. I feel like I'm running around here. Y'all have to bear with me. We'll go back over. Let's see. Lord help me. Right here in the 15th chapter of Matthew, I love this portion of Scripture. I find that a woman went to God. She didn't just go half-hearted. She didn't go wondering if God would save her. She didn't question the power of God. She went to Him knowing that He would be the answer to her problem, to the mess that she was in. There was a sickness. Oh, I find here that this woman, she came to Him. She was a woman of Canaan, a sinner, nasty. She was cast away. She wasn't a Jew. But listen, it says that she came out of the same coast. This is the 15th chapter of Matthew in the 22nd verse. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Why? She acknowledged him. She said, Lord, I know you're real. I want you to understand it takes more than believing. You've got to believe, but you've got to repent. I want you to understand that the devil and his angels believe, and you know what they do? They tremble. They tremble. It takes more. You've got to be changed. You've got to be born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. You've got to be born again. Listen, it says, and she came back, and he answered her not a word, and his disciples came in beside him saying, Lord, send her away, for she cried after. Just save her, Lord, go. I don't think they were saying, just send her away. I think he was saying, Lord, just fix her so she can go on and leave us alone. Just fix her. Listen, it's got to be God's way. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What'd she do? Listen to this. And she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. We're not worthy of what he allows us to have. This wasn't even for us. But by his grace, it was passed to us. All of us have an opportunity. Listen, she came and she worshipped him. Lord, help me. She worshipped him. Listen, he said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. We're dogs, brothers and sisters. If you're here and you're lost, you're a dog. I was a dog. I still am. I fail him time and time again, but oh, he lets us eat of those crumbs. He can hear us. He'll, you know what he does? He stops and makes time for us. I read about it and I preach about it quite a bit. I love it. It's blind Bartimaeus. I find where blind Bartimaeus, he was a beggar. I think it's over in Mark. I can't tell you exactly where it's at. But I find there that Bartimaeus, he was worried. He was concerned with him being blind, and he had heard about Jesus coming by. I find there that all the people around him were saying, Bartimaeus, you're not good enough. Bartimaeus, you don't need that. You need to be quiet. You sit back. You be still. You just be quiet. Listen to the world, Bartimaeus. You don't need that. But I find where Bartimaeus, he kept crying out, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Heal me. And what did Jesus do? He stood still. He listened. He heard him. As Bartimaeus was crying out, you know, Jesus, today, there was a point in time I was lost. I cried out to him. You know what he did? He stood still. I couldn't reach any farther up. You know what he could do? Reach right down and pick me up. You know, if you're here and you're lost, he can reach right down and pick you up here tonight. The power of God. Will you serve man? Will you serve God? You're going to have to make that choice. We've all got to make that choice. I find that if you don't believe that he can save you, he will never save you. You've got to know it. I find in Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, I find about a valley of dry bones. I find that these bones were dry. They were, picture this, you're looking down in a valley of skeletons. You look down and it's dusty, it's gross, it's nasty. The power of God is bigger than that. Do you know that? Listen. Ezekiel here, we'll just start reading in the 37th chapter in the first verse. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry, very dry. They weren't just dry, they'd been there a long time. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? The power of God. God said, can these bones live? Are you here today? Are you lost? Are you dry? Can you live? Are you here today? Are you saved? Are you dry? Have you gotten away from God? Can you live? Listen, I find here that it says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will breathe to enter into you, and ye shall live. I find it says, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And the Lord shall know that I am Lord. Listen, so I prophesied. This is what Ezekiel says. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Listen to this. Behold, a shaking. It can shake today, brothers and sisters. I want you to know God is so powerful. You know what the church needs? We need to be shook from time to time. We need the power of God to come in and shake us from the inside. Whenever we call out to Him, how does that happen? Ezekiel called out to God. God, you want it to be done? Let it be so. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. You want it to be done, God, your way? Let it be done. Listen, and it says, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. It was no confusion. This bone could have been way over here. That bone could have been over there, which, you know, they came together exactly the way they were before. Why? Because God said so. Listen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain so that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet in exceeding great army. Those bones lived, didn't they? If you're here today and you're lost, are you dry? Is there no breath in your body? Is there no life in you? You've got to understand that you've got to go to God. He's powerful enough to pull out whatever nasty, filthy it is you're worshiping. I want you to know that your pride, you worship your own self. Do you know that? We do. Every day, men shall be lovers of themselves, is what it says. In the end times, I think that's 2 Timothy. We may go over there in just a second. I'm going that way. And we're going to go over there real quick. I want you to understand the world that we're living in today. It's nasty. It's filthy. The way that the world's going, it's getting harder. I thank God that I got saved as a young boy. I thank Him for that because I don't know that if I'd have had anything else that this world has, I find that there's so much of this world that the kids have that they want to worship it. They're more concerned with, well, I want to get out of church. I want to go grab my phone. I want to go text my buddies. I want to get on my phone, check the sports games that's happening, politics that's going on. I'm more concerned with what's going on in this country. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to be concerned. But whenever it comes between us and God, we do not. We don't. I mean, I understand that we need to listen to the government. I can't think of exactly where it's at. But the Bible tells us, listen to your government. Submit to it until it goes against this. Then you go and you go against it. But I want you to understand that we'll go into 2 Timothy real quick. I find that men these days are lost or are having to live in a world. I want you to understand this world's not going to last forever. And I'm about to prove it to you. It's not going to last forever. And I can't tell you when He's coming back. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that yesterday and today, I'm closer today than I was then. You know, you're going to die one day. You're closer today than you were yesterday. But listen, the end times. Listen, in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Look around. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Is the world not full of this? Listen. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what we're looking at today. That's what the church has to fight. It's our duty to stand up to the pleasures of the world. It's our duty to teach children that no matter what you have in life, it's not more important than this book right here. It's not more important than coming into the house of God. It's not more important than fellowshipping with one another. It's not more important than coming together on the day of Pentecost. It says that there was 3,000 souls saved. Do you want to know why? They let God move. What were they there? They were there in one mind, one accord. They were there to work together. Amen. And this life today, there's a whole lot of problems. We've got to put ourselves aside. Amen. What does this say? What does God say? Let Him lead in all things. Now, what I want us to understand today is if you're here and you're lost, I want you to know you can choose God over this world. You don't have to live the rest of your life wondering, well, Do I need to just put aside God? Do I need to go out here and live my best life and work it and just do the things that the world thinks looks good? I want you to know you can't work hard enough to get into heaven. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't try hard enough. You can't be good enough. God had to come down. Remember how we talked about that blood that he applied and it would be a token? God came down and hung on a cross. So that you and I, he lived a sinless life. They had to have that lamb. It had to be perfect, without blemish, without spot. You know, Jesus came down. He lived that life. He lived that. He was that lamb, the perfect lamb fit for slaughter. You know what he did? He took it all. He kept his mouth shut. That's what it tells me in Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. He did it because he loved us. It pleased him to bruise him. Whenever he was hurt, when he was hanging on that cross, when he was thinking of you and me, you know what it was doing? It was making a way. It was building a bridge so that one day he'd be sitting at the right hand of God, creating intercession for you and I. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to know this world has a whole lot to offer. It does. It looks pretty. It looks good. Be careful where you lay up your treasures. Be careful what you look to. Go to God. Serve God. Why halt ye between two opinions? If it be God, follow God. If it be Baal, if it be the world, let it be the world. I want you to know it's God. God bless y'all. If we could get a song.